So, amen. Well, tonight we are going to continue to talk about the age of the law, and how God was dealing with man when he gives the law to Moses and to his people Israel. And we had talked about the days of the judges and the days of the kings in this age of the law. And then we're going to probably finish up the age of the law tonight with the days of the prophets, Now, the prophets that we're the most familiar with, of course, are the prophets in our Bible, which would be Isaiah through Malachi. And so we would be familiar with those prophets. But really, Moses is called a prophet in the Bible. And all the way up to John the Baptist, just before Jesus Christ, John the Baptist was a prophet. And Jesus Christ said of John the Baptist that there is none born of women that were greater than John the Baptist. And so we understand this time frame really of God dealing with these prophets. And we could talk about prophecies in the Old Testament. We're talking about prophets that are known, and God made it known to them that he had a job for them to do. You have to excuse me. I have some kind of head thing. And so my wife says it's a full-blown man cold is what I have. But we're gonna get through that, all right, tonight here. These days of the prophets, when God would call out these prophets and use them to speak to his people. Now, the prophets in the Old Testament were, you know, one man said the Old Testament prophets were kind of God's special forces in the Old Testament. And what did he mean by that? He meant that God had called these men, there are prophetesses in the Old Testament as well, and he called them to go and speak for him and to oftentimes be in danger because men didn't often appreciate what God was trying to say through these prophets. And so God would use these men and send them in to these kings and to these leaders and speak the truth of God. And most of these prophets are contemporaries with the kings, all right, the kings that you read about in Kings and Chronicles. Hosea and Amos, Elijah, Elisha, these were prophets that were to the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And Isaiah, Jeremiah, Joel, Obadiah, Nahum, Zephaniah, Micah, Habakkuk, these are to the southern tribes of Judah. And would prophesy what God was going to do to them if they didn't turn back to the Lord. Ezekiel and Daniel, they prophesy while Israel is in the midst of captivity. They're in captivity to Babylon. And so God's still speaking to them even in captivity. Haggai and Zechariah, they're prophesying during the times of Ezra and Nehemiah. So if you remember that, the captivity is going on, but in Ezra and Nehemiah, in their day, they were able to go back to Jerusalem and start to rebuild the walls and rebuild the temple. And those prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, they're prophesying during that time period. And then Malachi, he's the last book of our Old Testament. Malachi is kind of the standalone after the captivity, just before the silence, when Israel is able to kind of go back to their land, is when Malachi is prophesying. And so what's happening? God is establishing these prophets, and he's telling them to different places, different times. He is prophesying his word of what he is going to bring about. Now, I want to look at a few things here tonight. I want to look, firstly, at some common factors of a prophet. Common factors of an Old Testament prophet. Now, there are some people in our day that like to call themselves prophets, all right? Now, I'm not talking about that. There are those in our day that like to stand and call themselves apostles. And we can look at what God said was an apostle. We can look at that in the scriptures. That's not what we're talking about here tonight. And we can see what a prophet is of the Old Testament. Now, you and I can be prophets. We can prophesy, all right? And what I mean by that, before, let's put a big, you know, what? Yeah, we have to say that statement and then make follow-up statements, all right? So What I mean by the fact that you and I can prophesy is we can prophesy truth according to the word of God. That's what we can prophesy. We can stand up and we can say, listen, the Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back, and you need to get saved if you're not saved. You need to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. You need to put your faith in him and only in him for salvation, because the Lord is going to return. That doesn't mean that when we sleep at night, we have this special dream and vision that tells us something outside of the revealed word of God in Scripture that we can start to stand up and proclaim. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being able to prophesy simply to say what God has already said in his word that is revealed, and that that we can proclaim and prophesy from the Scriptures. So you and I can prophesy, but not in the way that God was using the Old Testament prophets. Because remember, they didn't have this in the Old Testament. The Old Testament preachers weren't carrying around the Bible under their arm and coming and saying, let me tell you what God's going to do. All right, they weren't able to do that. You and I can do that. That's why I can stand up here and preach, because I have something to use. That's why we can do it. I want to give you three common factors of a prophet. All right, I'd like to say, firstly, is they were called of God. They were called of God. A prophet was called of God. Look in Ezekiel chapter number 1. Ezekiel 1. Now, we're not going to go through this often, but you can read the prophets. The major prophets are meaning the larger books, Isaiah through Daniel. And then the minor prophets, it doesn't mean they were less prophets. It means that their books were smaller. All right, so we call them the major prophets and the minor prophets. And we can go through and we can learn all about these prophets and look at them individually. And some of them talk about their calling, where they were and what God did for them and called them to be prophets. But look in Ezekiel 1, in verse number 3, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest and started to talk to him directly. Look in chapter 2. In chapter 2, we could kind of get an idea of this calling. In chapter 2, and it said, and he said unto me, verse 1, son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. And he goes through here, and in chapter 2 and in chapter 3, the Lord talks to Ezekiel, and he says, this is what I want you to do. This is what I've called you to do. I've given you this job, these prophets were called of God to do these specific things. Look in 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. Now, I mentioned these two prophets, this prophet and the one that follows Elijah. We're going to talk about Elijah, and the one that follows Elisha. They didn't write books of the Bible as prophets, but they were prophets that God used, and we see them in the Scriptures. 1 Kings 17, 1, the Bible says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, now that's King Ahab of Israel, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. All right, so Elijah was called of God. Now, we don't see the calling revealed here. All right, but we understand Elijah was called of God, and God called unto him and said, go and stand before the king of Israel and proclaim these things that I have for you to say, and tell that to this king. And so the first thing, a common factor of these prophets is they're called of God. The second common factor is that they were aware of being God's messengers. All right? They were aware of being God's messengers. Let's stay here in this verse, 1 Kings 17:1. Look what Elijah says. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, look what he says, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He says, before whom I stand. Look in chapter 18, in verse number 1. 18, verse 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came unto Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Elijah was aware of being God's messenger. He wasn't being used on accident. The Old Testament prophets, it wasn't something that, wow, I can't believe that just happened. Didn't even see that coming. No, they had a calling of God, and they knew that they were going to be a messenger of the Lord, and they were doing what God had wanted them to do. And the Lord comes to Elijah here, and he says, go back to Ahab, go talk to him again, and bring him. The third thing that we're going to talk about, the third common factor, is they proclaimed the word of God. That's what they did. They proclaimed the word of God. Anything that the prophets said was not ever going to contradict the word of God. Say what? According to the Old Testament law, according to Genesis through Deuteronomy, the books of Moses, they were never going to contradict what God had said in his law. And there's rules to being a prophet. Those are mentioned in Deuteronomy. And if a man prophesies and it doesn't come true, then you know he's not a prophet of God. If he says something against the word of God, like, no, you can go and worship these other gods, something that would be against what God said in the Ten Commandments. If they were to say, no, you're fine to serve these other gods, he's not a prophet of the Lord, and they're to be taken out and slain. And boy, if we held people that called themselves prophets to that today, there'd be a lot more funerals. But this idea of a prophet is they were to proclaim the word of God. He said, go and show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And you see this in the Old Testament over and over again. Prophets saying, I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me. And you see that in the story of Micaiah. He says, I can only go and only say what God has told me to say. And so what happens? They go and they speak of the Lord. They proclaim the word of the Lord. And so those are some common factors of a prophet. Now, secondly, I want to look at this. I want to look at the purpose of the prophets. The purpose of the prophets. What were they for? What was trying to be accomplished in these things? And I understand that we can take some of these things of an Old Testament prophet and some of them standing publicly and proclaiming the word of God. There are things to be likened to modern day preachers. And not only those that are standing behind pulpits or ordained to be a preacher, but some of the young men go out on the street and they can hold up a scripture sign and they can say, the Bible says. And they can lift up their voice and they can give the gospel on the street corner. And what is that? That's a type of an Old Testament prophet standing and proclaiming the word of God. Not in the same way that God was using the Old Testament prophets, but being able to stand and proclaim the judgment of God, and that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. That sounds like an Old Testament prophet. I mean, that's Bible, that's written Bible. And so proclaiming that and then proclaiming the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we can do that. But you can see as you study the Old Testament prophets, the likeness of a preacher standing and proclaiming the word of God. There was a purpose for the Old Testament prophets and a purpose for the men that God calls now to preach and teach his word. But the purpose of these prophets was, number one, to preach repentance. To preach repentance. This was probably the first calling of God, was for them to go and to preach repentance. Turn back to Ezekiel, but go to chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. Look in verse 10. Ezekiel 33:10. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall then we live? Say unto them, this is the Lord speaking to Ezekiel, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? The prophets would stand before Israel, and they would be in sin, and they would be following idols, and they would go away from God. And God would send them prophets to stand before their kings, because you see a great responsibility placed on their kings for the people and on their religious leaders. A great responsibility is placed on them for the actions of the people. And the reality is, today there is a great responsibility placed on the leadership of churches for the spiritual responsibility of God's people. Why? Because he has chosen those to stand and to proclaim the word of God. And as a preacher, that's why we can't just stand and talk about how much God loves all of us and how much he just wants to pat us on the back. There needs to be messages. There needs to be a thrust of, hey, get right with God. Live right. Because he's coming back to judge us individually. And there's a responsibility there placed. And so there is responsibility placed on the Old Testament prophets to preach repentance and to preach this repentance and to turn away from that sin and to turn back towards God. And you could see over, that's why sometimes when you read through these prophets, it's heavy, I would say, as you read through Jeremiah. And it's heavy reading, because it's constantly Jeremiah standing to a wicked and rebellious people and preaching, you need to turn back to God. And preaching the heaviness that God sent to say, if you don't turn back to God, this is what God's going to do in order to get you to turn to him, is what he's doing. It's not just to proclaim this heavy hand of God, but to say, turn back to God, or he'll use a heavy hand to get you to turn back to him. Just like in the New Testament, we can understand that in salvation, we become God's children. And as God's children, he can chastise us. He can bring the rod, like we are supposed to our own children, for the rod of correction, to do that in order to bring us back to him. And that's what the Lord does. The Lord is certainly merciful and gracious, but if you run from God as his child, he can say, nope, I want to bring your attention back to me. And that's why we read the book of Proverbs, and we understand, as a parent, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You know what that means? They're going to naturally do foolish things. And what are we supposed to do as parents? We're supposed to get their attention. How do you get their attention? Well, ultimately, yelling at children doesn't get their attention, because they just block it out. But you know what does get their attention? Yes, taking their electronic devices. Yes, that gets their attention. But biblically speaking, a wooden spoon to the rear end gets their attention. They don't usually just sit idly by and block it out when you have a wooden spoon with some force, a little laws of thermodynamics there, against the rear end. They usually take note. But what is that to do? It's to draw their attention back as God does, can do for us. You've heard it said before that sometimes the Lord, when we run from the Lord, he has to use a 2x4. It's not a wooden spoon anymore. The Lord has to do something more to get our attention. And God help us so we don't get to that place. But the Old Testament prophets, they were to preach repentance over and over and over and over again. They did that. But not only to preach repentance, but also, secondly, to give messages of prophecy. All right, to prophesy. Now, in the Old Testament, we have stories of there being prophets and false prophets. False prophets standing and proclaiming to be prophets of the Lord, but saying everything that was going to put a smile on the king's face. That's what their main goal was. Their main goal was not to speak the word of the Lord, but it was to say, wonder which way the king is leaning, and then that I want to make him happy by going that direction. Right? And so the prophets would come in and say, should we go up to battle? Oh, king, go up to battle. God's going to give you these great victories. And we see some of the prophets of the Old Testament, God calls them and they stand before kings and they say, no, you go up there, God's going to wipe you out. You see prophets coming in and you have the king of Judah that was living right by God and the king of Israel, and they had made affinity together to fight. And the prophet comes up and looks at the king of Israel, who is wicked and against God, and says, I wouldn't even be talking to you right now if it wasn't for the king of Judah's presence. I mean, whoa, that's gutsy, right? These were men that God called to stand on his word and say, no, this is what God said. Now, in order to do that and for them to have any clout with what they were saying, they were given messages of prophecy unlike you and I. Messages of prophecy like how? Well, like Daniel naming nations before they existed. Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar, this is what's going to happen. You are the head of gold and you are the great. But after you are going to come these other nations and these other world powers. They're going to come and they're going to rule and reign and take that power after you. But Daniel's naming nations before they existed. Kings were named before they were born. Not by Daniel, but by prophets. There's going to be a king, and he's going to be called this, and he's going to reign, and he's going to do this thing. And he's going to take the bones of the prophets, and he's going to burn them on this altar. And you have these prophecies that were given. You have prophecies of the tribulation, prophecies of the second advent, prophecies of the millennium. All given factually and saying these things are going to happen. You can mark my word as a prophet of God. Of course, you have the message of prophecy for God's judgment on sin. They would stand and say there's going to be a drought, or there's going to be a famine, there's going to be pestilence, there's going to be capture. This is what's going to happen if you don't turn back to the Lord. Is God's judgment on sin is going to be this. It's the Old Testament prophet saying, if you don't turn back, people from another, from far away, are going to come here, and they're going to carry you off and your children into other lands if you don't get right. And kings scoffed, and they made fun of them, and they said, yeah, right, that's never going to happen. And look at it, look at what we've built now. Look at our kingdom now. There was prophecies given about their Messiah. Isaiah and Psalms and Micah and Zechariah and Jeremiah and others. We could look at multitudes of these verses about the coming Messiah of Jesus Christ. Prophecies saying, your Messiah is coming. He's going to come and he's going to rule, and he's going to reign as a king, and he's going to have governments placed on his shoulders. This Messiah is coming, and he's going to come lowly, and he's going to come humbly. And all these prophecies about their coming Messiah, and what happened? Well, we see now that they all came true. They all came true about one man. Why? Because Peter tells us that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These were men that God moved on, and they spoke his word. And the Old Testament prophets, they gave messages of prophecy about things that were going to happen and did happen and is still yet to happen. Many of these prophecies, I would almost say most of the Old Testament prophecies, have not yet been fulfilled, but they will be. They will be, and we see that in the Bible. So they were to preach repentance, they were to give messages of prophecy, and they were also to remind of restoration. They were to remind of restoration. Over 1,500 verses in the Old Testament talk about a Jewish kingdom being restored. A Jewish kingdom being restored. 1,500 verses. That's a lot of verses. That's a lot of verses. Why? Because God is going to restore the kingdom of his people. He is going to do it. He hasn't done it yet, but he is going to do it. And so when we look at the scriptures and we rightly divide the scriptures, we can see that that was promises and prophecies that God gave to his people. He gave them as he said them. He used his prophets to say what he meant he was going to say. And those prophecies have not come true, but they will. They will. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to rule and to reign, the first time he came humbly, you've heard it said, the first time he came as a lamb that laid his life down, a lamb for the slaughter. The second time he's coming back as a lion. He's coming back as a lion to do what? To rule and to reign. And when he establishes that kingdom, when he does that, he is going to restore Israel to its rrightful place, to God's place, to God's given place for Israel. And he's going to do that. And so he would remind them of restoration. God is not done with you yet. He's not done. They would preach repentance. They would preach hard things, heavy things. They would give messages of prophecy if they didn't turn back to God. But they would also remind them of the restoration. Jeremiah would come and say, there's a day coming where God is going to write his law upon our hearts. And he's going to bring us back. Jeremiah 30, I believe. He's going to bring us back to these things. It wasn't just judgment, but it was also restoration. And God gave them this purpose, these Old Testament prophets, to preach these things. And God used these men to do what? To speak for himself. To speak for himself so that Israel would turn and faithfully serve God. We see that they didn't do that. Just like when they had the time of the judges and some judge would beat down the Philistines for a little bit, and the children of Israel were really happy about it, and then they'd go back to serving the other gods. And then they'd come under captivity, under bondage, and they'd say, oh, God, help us. You know, when they really needed something, they'd turn to God. They'd say, Lord, help us. And then God would raise up a deliverer, a judge, and he would deliver his people, and they'd say, yes, we knew God would do it. And then, of course, after they were comfortable, what happened? They would go back to idolatry. And so they didn't follow the judges. And they said, we want a king. So God gave them the days of the king. And he raised up Saul, and Saul didn't do so great between him and the Lord. And God said, okay, I'm going to give you a king after my own heart. I'm going to give you a guy that I want you to have, and gives him David, and David's son Solomon. And David gives him those kings. But what do you see? Well, little by little, you see the split of the kingdom, and you see the 10 northern tribes serving idols and going to an idolatry, and God for years and years and years and like hundreds of years preaching repentance through what? Through the prophets. Get right, turn back to God. And what does God do? Well, what does Israel do? Turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Look in verse 34, Matthew 23:34. Verse 34, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. God says, the blood of these prophets have been on your hands for years and years and years. He goes, I'm going to continue to send, and I have sent unto you these men to preach and to proclaim. But what did he do? What have you done? The Bible says, you've killed them. Jesus Christ said, you've killed these men that I sent to you. And Stephen stands and says, he requests that they don't be like their fathers, with stiff necks and hard of hearing and killing the prophets. Why'd they do this? Because they brought the word of God, but they didn't want to listen to the word of God. They didn't want to obey the word of God. Look in 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22. This is the story of Micaiah. 1 Kings 22, look in verse 25. In verse 24, the Bible says, but Zedekiah, the son of Kenaniah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? This is after Micaiah had just called all these prophets lying prophets. And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Josiah, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. He just gets his sentence. Take him back and put him in jail. And Micaiah says this in verse 28, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O ye people, every one of you. What happens? Those are the last words that we ever get recorded from Micaiah. Who was he? A prophet that God said, go and speak to the king of Israel and tell him, I don't want you in this war. And if you go in this war, I'm going to wipe you out. And what happens? The king of Israel never comes back, just like Micaiah said. He never comes back. He gets killed in battle. And it's the last. What else happened? Well, they killed the prophets. They imprisoned the prophets. Here's the king. A prophet comes and stands before him. And he's so irritated by what Micaiah is saying that he says, go put this guy in prison. Let's go lock him up. And really, Jehoshaphat kind of does Micaiah dirty here, because Jehoshaphat's the one that says, is there a prophet of the Lord here anywhere? Like, yeah, I know this one guy, but I don't like this guy. Right? And so Jehoshaphat's the one that brings him up. Israel, the king of Israel, puts him in prison because he can't stand what the word of the Lord has power. Amen. That's where the power comes from. It's from the word of the Lord. and this idea of a king of a nation being so irritated with the man that is speaking, you're not going to win this battle. And he says, I dislike you so much for saying that I'm going to take you back and just put you in prison. I mean, first of all, that guy must have had, the king had such little self-esteem. Yeah, I mean, he's the king. And a prophet comes and says, you're not going to make it back. And he says, put him in prison. I'll deal with him when I come back. Why? Because the word of God has power. And those that don't want to hear the word of God can do crazy things, really, when you think about it. But they put him in prison, and they look in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, this is chapter of the Bible here on faith. Gives many men and women examples of great faith from the Old Testament. And we start to go through, and you can look in verse 32. Earlier in the chapter here, he's going through and he's mentioning names, and then he's kind of giving them a verse or multiple verses about what they've done. In verse 32, he's kind of moving along the process. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. And of the prophets, he says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. We know that. We know some of these we can pick out pretty easily. Daniel quenched the violence of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We can put up names to these. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Look at verse 36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. What's he saying? He's saying there was these prophets. These were these individuals that God would send. And, of course, we don't have the names of all of them. You remember Elijah when he goes and he's discouraged and he's under the juniper tree and he tells God he's not worthy of living anymore. You remember that? And he says, I'm the only one that's standing for you, Lord, and I'm discouraged by it. And the Lord says, no, you're not the only one. Because I have 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee yet to Baal. 7,000 prophets. He says, I have seven, but you don't know about them. See, now sometimes you get yourself in a situation and you think sometimes to yourself, I'm the only one that's trying to go forward and serve God. I'm the only one going through this and serving the Lord. That's why it's good to be in church. Because we can look around and say, hey, there's others in here that haven't bowed the knee yet. And they're trying to serve God too. And going to meetings and where you can just see other people that are trying to serve God still and trying to go forward for the Lord. And he says, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee. We don't have the stories of all of them. But here, we get told about some of them. That they went through these mockings and scourgings. Verse 36, 37, and verse 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. Why? Because what? They stood and spoke for God. And Israel and God's people and the people that God sent his prophets to, they most often rejected the word of God. They rejected it. And that's where we find Israel. At the end of the age of the law, here is Israel up until the time of John the Baptist, where and Jesus Christ coming and preaching to the nation of Israel is a nation that who had long forgotten God, but had kept a lot of the formalities of religion in order to feel special. And were kind of doing whatever they wanted to do. And we're rejecting the 400 years of silence where we have no prophets, no words, no written word given to Israel from the Lord before Jesus Christ shows up. And here he comes and he shows up and Jesus Christ comes and he starts to preach what? He starts to preach himself. And he starts to preach, turn and repent and turn unto God. And the time of the age of the law is coming to a close when Jesus Christ comes and starts to preach himself. And of course, when he dies and is on the cross, what does he do? He puts an end to the law for righteousness. not an end to the law. Not that we can now murder and commit adultery and steal and have other gods and stuff like that. Not that. But he puts an end to the law for righteousness because Jesus Christ, once he dies on the cross, he then becomes the righteousness of God. Amen. And we have that access through Jesus Christ. And so the law is still good and it's right. And we should obey the law and follow it unto righteousness. But for our righteousness, it's in Jesus Christ once he comes and puts an end to that time. So All right, we're going to end there this evening, and next time we have our Sunday night, I'm probably going to kind of, from where we started to where we are right now before Christ, I'm going to try to draw that out so that we can just put a picture in our minds of how God was dealing with man and what he did through that time period till the time we get to Christ. And so we'll kind of break that down a little bit.